Thank you so much, Marty. And good morning to you that are here in the church. It's great to have to turn my head right around this morning and to see so many. That is great. And I've got a very special wave this morning to all those that are watching online. We are so glad that you were there as well. There is a British TV game show that I really like. It's called Pointless. They ask 100 people a question and all their answers are sorted out into order from the most popular down to the least known. And the score you get is based on the percentage of the answers that are given. So you've got to try and think outside of the box to try and get a pointless answer. I wonder if they asked a question on the Christmas story. Can you name a character or an animal in the Christmas story, how everything would be sorted out as to what people know? I wonder where Joseph would be on that list. Known to some, but not known to others. And you know, some people even wonder why Joseph's name is mentioned in the Bible, because he's not directly related to Jesus. And I want to say thanks to for that Bible reading that we had today, because that gives us just a great overview of actually the content of Joseph's life. And the children's talk was really interesting to think that he is called Saint Joseph. You know, in some churches, that would be so even today. But I want to say to you, do you actually know that in the Bible, people who actually know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour are called saints? So you're in good company today, and not just only along with Saint Joseph, but the Bible sees you as a saint as well. And I really love that kids' talk, the way that it depicted Joseph as being a very kind and considerate person. And I think you'll see that's just what he was. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph were betrothed. That meant they were pledged to be married. And in the days when all this took place, a young female teenager would be promised to a man and the deal was struck. The two families became pledged to one another. And they, the couple, only had eyes for each other from that time on. There would have been a formal ceremony and a witness to the event, and this was called the betrothal, and it did mean that they are now legally married. The man then began a time of preparation. He would set about to build a home, and maybe a year later, when the house was ready, there would be a huge wedding meal that could last for about a week. So there was lots of food needed. Hence, the gardens had to be tended and ready so that they could be harvested. No wonder they waited a year or two for that event. Then came the feast, and what a feast it was. And after the feast, the bride moved in with her husband into their new home, and a new family unit began. In Luke chapter 1, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this would be the Saviour of the world. Mary then went and spent 3 months with Elizabeth, her cousin, and then she returned to Nazareth. Well, let me tell you, last week here in this church, we had a guest appearance by Mary. And if you missed that, check it out on YouTube. It will give you a greater understanding of Mary and a lot of information about her. Now, we don't know when Joseph actually found out that Mary was pregnant, whether it was before or after her visit to Elizabeth, but it is during the preparation time frame. And I want to look today at Joseph. And Matthew's account gives us a great deal of information that will help us. Now, we heard this morning that he was a carpenter. Let me tell you, carpenters are good people. And I know, because I'm married to one. Good stuff. We also read in that first reading in in Matthew that he was a righteous man. He did not want to publicly disgrace Mary because she was pregnant. He thought he might privately divorce her. See what I mean about being pledged? What a serious business this was. It would take a divorce to actually separate that relationship. He was extremely thoughtful. You'll see this over and over again in his story. You know, that first time when he had the dream and the angel came to him, he thought about what the angel had said. He thought he was going down a pathway, but when the angel presented some other options to him, he stopped and he paused, and we know that he considered those things. And look at what the angel called him in that passage. Joseph, son of David. Yes, Joseph is his name, so that's good. Son of David? Hang on a minute. His father was Jacob. We know that. So why is he called son of David? He's actually linked back to King David. He, Joseph, was able to trace his heritage, his family tree, right back so many generations, actually to Abraham. And if you just look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, you can see the genealogy of Joseph, right back to Abraham, up to King David, and then on to his current day. What an amazing heritage he had, and he knew his family tree back that far. Joseph, because he had an understanding of his family tree, would have grown up in the Old Testament and had known it. He knew that one day a Saviour will come. And the angel clearly tells him that Mary is carrying that child and Joseph is to name that child. What a great song we sang before. What a beautiful name, that name Jesus. Why is the name Jesus so special? Because it tells us that he will save his people from their sins. And the Old Testament prophecy that was read to us last week when we thought about Mary, Isaiah 7:14, is again referred to by the angel to Joseph, and he will be Emmanuel. God is with us. The angel also acknowledges when they spoke to Joseph that Joseph is afraid. Well, who wouldn't be? This is all new to Joseph. What an experience he is having. And you know, he did exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do. Mary, the Bible tells us in verse 24 of chapter 1, goes home with him as his wife. Now, I must say, I'd love to know, did they have that wedding feast? Probably not. It doesn't actually tell us in the Bible. You know, the feast was no longer the most important priority. Joseph lovingly cared for Mary as his wife. That's what was important. And when we think about how thoughtful Joseph was, verse 25 in that passage that we had before gives us a really greater understanding of Joseph and his thoughtful responses. It tells us that no sexual relationship happened between Mary and Joseph until after the birth of Jesus. How important would that be to remove all shades of grey that Joseph was not the father of Jesus? Mary remained a virgin until after the birth. Now, we do know this. Joseph and Mary, after the birth of Jesus, had four sons. Two of them are named James and Jude, and they became believers of Jesus and actually wrote two books that we have in our New Testament. And we don't know how many girls they had at least two, because it says sisters and it's plural. And you can check that out in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. You know, Christmas is a time when we think of the manger in Bethlehem. And we can so easily forget what it took to actually get there. Mary and Joseph travelled over 100 kilometres to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It would have taken them over 7 days of travel. And remember, Mary is in her final week of her pregnancy. What were they doing there? Well, they went to do a census. I was thinking back to earlier on this year when we did a census here in Australia. It was easy, wasn't it? You got on the computer, filled out all the boxes, job done. You didn't have to go back to the place of your ancestry. You could just do it at home without even heading out of the door. Now, Joseph, he needed to go to Bethlehem because that was where he could trace his lineage right back to King David. He could have left Mary at home. That might have been the easier option. He could have filled out her details for her when he was there. But he chose to take her with him, and that was a God moment. Jesus was then born in the city of David, and well, as we would say, the rest is history. This map helps us to see the travelling that they did. Joseph must have had a lot of experience at packing up and moving on, and most of all being aware of God's leading. We can see on here the first distance from 1 down to 2, which is from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And then 2 and 3 is twice Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem on day 7 and again on day 40, and we'll hear about that in 2 weeks' time from Sue. And Joseph takes Mary and Jesus at the end of all of this, and he heads down to Egypt. That is not a short journey, around 70 kilometres. And again, when they're finished with their time in Egypt, they head back up into Nazareth, around about 170 kilometre journey. My goodness me, when I think about that, Joseph and his abilities, I just, my vision for him just suddenly grows, and my admiration for all that he was prepared to do to care for Mary and for Jesus. When we look at actually Joseph's life, it's easy to tell it in 4 dreams that Joseph had. 3 of them where the angel of the Lord clearly spoke to him and how he responded to that. The first dream was when the angel of the Lord came and said, "Hey, Joseph, do not divorce Mary." And we've heard that read to us this morning. And this happened in the time of the preparation. And it's interesting because we know that Joseph acted on that, and that decision that he made changed his destiny. What an amazing thing that was. They then left Nazareth, headed down to Bethlehem, and the story we know, the baby was born in the manger and the shepherds came, and then the family moves to a house. And the story continues on, and we'll look forward to hearing about that actually next week. But it's interesting, when the wise men came to visit, Joseph was not there, just Mary. But after the wise men leave, Joseph is told in a dream that they are to flee, to get going, and go to Egypt. And why? Well, Herod the Great is about to issue a command that all male children 2 years old and younger in and around Bethlehem are to be put to death. He does not want to see another king in the land. And so the Bible tells us in verse 14, they left in the middle of the night. The urge was so great for Joseph to protect Mary and the baby. Wow, how amazing is that? Sure must have had a quick pack up and hit the road. As we know, Joseph is a man of action, so that was very evident here. their journey from Bethlehem to what is the Egyptian-controlled territory, just outside of the jurisdiction of Herod, was at least a 65-kilometre journey. Now, they stay there for some time. How long, we're not sure, but some people think it could have been anywhere from 1 to 2 years. And after Herod dies, in around early 4 BC, Joseph has a third dream where an angel tells him it's now safe to return to Israel. And soon they begin their travel back to Judea and to Bethlehem. However, as Mary and Joseph approach Judea, it's discovered that Herod Archelaus, the eldest serving son of Herod the Great, is the new ruler in the area, and he's just a chip off the old block, like his father. He rules with tyranny and with cruelty. And Joseph's fears about living within Judea are confirmed. And God sends him, guess what? Another warning in a dream. And the family continues northward and heads to Nazareth, a much safer region. You know, we're told that on every occasion, Joseph acted on the instruction that he was given in his dreams. He was protecting the life of Jesus, and how diligently he did that. Just think for a moment. Was it easy for Joseph? No. There was unrest in his world. Government officials were corrupt and power hungry. There was uncertainty with Joseph and Mary on the move. There was no roadmap for the journey of the Saviour of the world. This was a one and only time in history, and Joseph needed to be encouraged along the journey and to know that this was God at work. And God surely did that in those four dreams that he had. There was much pain for Joseph. People misunderstanding his commitment to Mary, and above all else, his God-called role in caring for Mary and for Jesus. We know that Joseph would have trained and cared for Jesus. He taught Jesus many things as a father in that family. And Luke sums it up this way. Luke 2 and verse 40 tells us, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You know, Joseph and Mary were part of that. They continued to exhibit their humble, faithful approach to God, and that was seen in their family. And even though there was pain for Joseph being away from family in those early years and for support, Joseph's faith was deeply enriched. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple. We heard about that last week. And that is the last living reference we have of Joseph. It's assumed that Joseph died somewhere between Jesus' age of being 12 and 30, because when Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, only Mary is ever mentioned. Joseph did not see Jesus becoming the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is not one word of speech recorded by Joseph in the Bible. Yet the character of the man is clearly declared by all his actions. Three times when Joseph acted following his dreams, it's recorded that Bible prophecy was fulfilled. Yes, Joseph was an ordinary person with an extraordinary role. And what does that say to you and to me? We live in a time of unrest right now. We see and read of corruption in our land. We have uncertainty like never before. We have no roadmap out of our current situation with COVID and all the spin-offs and ramifications that have come from that. And like you, I too at times am afraid and I have unanswered questions. There is pain and loss. And so much of it has been magnified with COVID. Is God, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to you and to me? That hasn't changed the way God speaks. He desires to reveal himself to his people. It might be in a dream. It might be from God's word that we now have in hard copy on our phones, access to it all of the time. It might be from experiences that are teaching you so much and pointing you back to God's ways. I think I have to ask myself a question. Will I respond like Joseph? Will I get up in the middle of the night when God speaks to me and act? Will I be willing to recall what God has said to me in the morning and change maybe the direction that I was planning to travel? Am I thinking of others rather than myself? I think that's a huge thing for us in this world that we live in today. And will I make right decisions that may have painful consequences when I'm confronted by God to a role that he's calling me to? During the week, I put up my Christmas tree with the help of my 4-year-old granddaughter, Sophie. And part of our Christmas decorations are a hand-knitted nativity scene by Kath Jones. Sophie got them out of the box and she said, "I will set them up." And over she went with the box and laid them out. And I paused and took this photo right at that moment. I wanted to send it to Kath so that she could see. And Kath was delighted to know that her special nativity set still lives on. When Sophie was there, she leant over and she took out the little baby Jesus. There's a little knitted doll in there. And she picked it up and she put it on here and she gave it a little pat-pat, wrapped it back up in its little rug and placed it back in the into the nativity. I asked her as we looked at it, "Who is Jesus' mother?" And she said, "Mary." And she picked Mary up and showed me Mary. And I said, "Who is Jesus' father?" And she picked up Joseph. She said, "Joseph." I then explained to her, it's God. Joseph was there and he helped to look after Mary and baby Jesus, but God is his father. That's why baby Jesus is so special. She paused. She looked back at the nativity set, all around it, and then she said, "Where is God?" What a great question that was. We had a great talk about God and where and who he is. And we then read what we call Pa's Bible. This is the little storybook that Peter often sits in the chair with the grandkids and reads. And Sophie was very keen to look at the story of Jesus in Pa's Bible. As you look at the nativity scene, do you ask, where is God? Nothing wrong with asking questions. It's a great way to find out about God, whether you're 4, 44 or 84. We see God at work in Joseph. His godly characteristics of graciousness and kindness. We see God at work when Joseph named Jesus. That wee baby, he named him Jesus. Yes, he would become our Saviour and open a way for us to have a direct access to God. I love the way we've got the manger and the cross together. You see, the story of Jesus doesn't end in a manger. It's seen in a cross. And if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, there is no better time than this Christmas to become a child of God and to say, yes, Lord, I accept what you did for me on the cross. I am sorry for my sin. I want to be with you in heaven. And I want to say to you, if you're listening online, whatever day it might be, by all means, send an email to our church address. It will come up at the end of this session and I will answer you. And if you've got questions, ask them and I'll be happy to share with you. And if you're here this morning and you can stay for the sausage sizzle, by all means, forget the feast and come and talk. I'll be very glad to talk to you. I heard on the news last night, they were talking about the cricket fiasco and all of the problems associated like that. And the guy said, we live in an unforgiving world. How true is that? And as I pondered that, I thought, how very different to the message that God would want to convey to us this morning. You see, God tells us that he does forgive our sin. He does cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we may have done wrong, but there is forgiveness at the cross. Let's never forget that. And I think the other place where we see God at work is the fact that he cares for us in our times of unrest, uncertainty, and pain. Where is God? He's here, right there with us now. You do not need to walk that road alone if you've got pain and you've got discouragement at the moment. Take heart this morning. I want to encourage you to keep listening to God as he speaks to you and to trust God for the outcome and ask someone to pray with you. That's the great thing about being part of the family of God. You do not need to bear those things alone. Joseph, I'm so glad you're in God's word. You have so much to teach us. Your faith, your travels, your relationship with your Heavenly Father still speaks to us today. Let's pause and pray. Heavenly Father, I do so thank you that you are here with us. You know our failings, yet you love us and you sent Jesus to die on a cross so that we could be children of God. Help us, Lord, to be righteous, gracious, loving people and to display your characteristics in our world of uncertainty and pain. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.